Fine. So I wanted to. In the end, I'm going to do the Rishon Bar Yochai after Pesach. What I wanted to do today was an Agadata that's linked to Pesach and also linked to davening, and that is the Agadic ideas, the philosophical ideas, whatever you want to call it, that emerge from the two Gemaras in the first parak about Shemichat Geula LeTfila. We'll try to do it pretty quickly because we're running short on time here. Okay, so if you open the Gemara first to Dalet Amud Bet, I assume at this point all of you have done this Gemara. This is on Dalet. Yes, you should be past that already. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Kore Kriyat Shema Umit Palel. You say Shema, and then you Davin Shmona Esrei, Messiah Leil, Rabbi Yochanan, this supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu Ben Ha'olam Haba. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, who is the person who will go to the world to come? Zeh HaSomech Geula LeTfila Shel Arvit. This is the one who conjoins Geula, meaning the bracha of Geula, Gaal Yisrael, to the Amidah, even at Mariv. Rishu ben Levi Omer Tfilot Be'emtza Tiknum. And Rishu ben Levi says, no, there's only halacha of Smichat Geula LeTfila when? At Shacharit. Because Tfila Be'emtza Tiknum. What does Be'emtza Tiknum mean? In the middle. And therefore, the order of the day is Shema, Shmona Esrei, Shmona Esrei, Shema. Right? It's A-B-B-A. And therefore, at Mariv, you don't have it. And the Gemara then says, but my Kamiflige, what is the argument? Or technically Mipalge, but okay. Ibaide Makra, Ibaide Masvara. Yes, it is Mipalge. Either they're arguing about a pasuk or of logic. Ibaide Masvara, what's the logic? Rabbi Yochanan Savar Geula Miurta Name Hafe. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Geula, meaning the Geula of Mitzrayim, was only, well, it was at night, but el geula al yata lo havi el levit zafra. But the main, the primary geula was only during the day. Now, I thought I was going to give a gadata to next week, but it looks like I might not, because Ray Ginsburg wants to go straight from 6 o'clock, like 6 o'clock, in which case this may be our last before Pesach. So I was going to talk about this. But I haven't formulated my thoughts fairly, which is how they can really argue about whether Geula was at night and day, what exactly they're arguing about. But at any rate, so one Basel is Rabbi Yochanan is arguing that the main Geula is during the day, and therefore the theme of Geula is more prominent in the morning, and therefore that's when you need Smicha Geula. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, it's at night and during the day, and that's why you should be so mech for both. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, no, in the end of the day, the Geula was the morning, and that's the time when the theme of Geula is most prominent, and that is the only time that you need smicha Geula l'tfila, and therefore, and at night you don't, yes?
Wait, what exactly, where we're talking about the
Yitzhak? We're talking about smicha Geula l'tfila. Right now, right, is saying Gal Yisrael before Shmona Esrei. Now, what is the theme of Geula that we're talking about? So, Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
Right.
And therefore, the Gemara suggests to what Rabbi Yochanan holds that both at Shacharit and at Mariv, you need to have Smicha Geula Tzvila, believes that the way we think about the Geula of Mitzrayim was that the primary Exodus was during the day, but secondarily, or it began, right, at night. And therefore, the theme of Geulat Mitzrayim is relevant both at night and during the day. And Rishu ben Levi says, yeah, but in the end of the day, the night was not when they left, right? The day was when they left, and therefore, Geula only really counts during the day, and therefore, only at Shacharit do you need Smicha Geula L'Tfila, and not at night.
So are they? So is it an argument on a technical level that they differ as to like when actual events happened? Or are
so that's what I just said, is that next week I wanted to do the question of what they're arguing on this. Right. But I have not fully formulated my thoughts on that yet because no one seems to say anything and I find it as weird as you do. So I have a few ideas, but not very, very sure. Maybe if I come up with formulated thoughts, maybe either I'll try to find a time next week or maybe I'll do like some Zoom over Ben Asmanim or something. I don't know. But I still have to like finish my thoughts because it's not settled in my mind. V'ibay is him a kra, and some say it's machlokin. Psukim u'shnei mikrecha darshu dechtiv shach v'chav kumecha. And then I'll just summarize the next line that the Gemara has a machlokin, that maybe The question is, what do we learn from Shach B'chav Kumecha? Is it that the morning is like, we compare morning and night? I mean, just like in the morning, it's Shema Shmor Esrei, so at night it's Shema Shmor Esrei? Or is it that we always have, right, Shchiva, it's more about comparing Shchiva to Kima, meaning Ma Kima Kriyat Shema Samach Lemitato, meaning Shema always has to be closer to when you're in bed, right? So in the morning, you're getting out of bed, so it's Shema Shmor Esrei, and at night you're going back into bed, so it's Shmor Esrei Shema. And then the Gemara says, but wait a second. How can you say we have to be Samach Gula L'Tfila? Don't we say the Bracha of Hashkivenu at night after Gaal Yisrael? So what's the Gemara's answer? Let's see if you remember. Gemara says, no, since came into Dakin Rabban Hashkivenu, Kigula Richta Damya. Since Chazal instituted it, it is considered an extended Gula, just like Hashem Svatai Tiftach. Okay? The Gemara then returns to this topic on Daf Ted Amud Bet. And the Gemara there says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Ezu ben Olam Abaz, Somech Ulula Shel Arvit, Letzvila Shel Arvit. Right, that again, right, you get Olam Haba if you are Somech. Gula to Tvila. And the Gemara at some point says, I'm just going to skip around here later. Amar later be ilah l'ula, keli l'ahatam shal b'shalma de Rav Brona, achei b'mama kol chavura. Rav Ilah said to Ula, when you go to Bavel, ask about my brother, when everybody's there, like greet him in public because he's a great man who rejoices in mitzvah. Adam gadol v'samech mitzvah. And how do I know? Because zimna chada samach gula l'tfila. Once he was so mech gula l'tfila, and what happened? He was so happy. V'lo pasik chucha mipul me kule yoma. He didn't stop smiling all day. You see that the man really appreciates mitzvah, so make sure to accord him honor. Okay. So what I want to do very briefly is to talk about why is it that being Somech Gula L'Tfila is so valuable, right? That we say that this is the thing that you get Olam Haba for, right? That he smiled all day because he was Somech Gula L'Tfila. What is it about the theme of Yetziat Mitzrayim and Tfila that's so important? And Tokadeh, again, it is a halachic, you know, idea, but the sort of the agadic things around it, right? The value statements around it are really important, especially as we're entering Pesach, to understand what is it, right? Why is it that this invoking of the idea of Gulat Mitzrayim is central enough that we make, you know, we make it a theme of every single tefillah that you have all year? And what is the connection to tefillah? Okay? Ready? That's our goal? Good. I figured it was a good thing to do before Pesach. Okay, so Shita Mikubetzer, right off the bat, number three, says, wait a second. Yesh l'shol. V'chi mipnei she'somech gula l'tfila yi lo schar kol kach shiyu ben olam haba. Really? That's all you got to do? Olam haba? You know, that's what it took? But that's it, right? Say, Gal Yisrael and Neshmon Esrei. How many people do that? I do that, right? That's it? No other responsibilities? Okay, that was easy. The Yesh Mefarshim Deloshi Eben Olam Haba B'Davar Zepil Fad. She says that's not what it means. Elahachi Kamar Ezu Ben Olam Haba Kol Zahir B'Divrei Chachamim D'Dakbik Behem Ulekayman Sha'af B'Zu Hu Zahir L'Samach Gula L'Tfila Filu B'Layla. He says no. What it means is the exact opposite. It's not that Smichat Gula L'Tfila is so important. It's not important at all. What does this Gemara mean? That if you're so careful about every single rabbinic halacha, including this relatively not important thing, which is being someone gula tefillah, someone who is that careful about all mitzvot, he's going to go to Olam Haba, okay. Right? So according to the Shita Mikubetzer, is there any real, right, any real importance to this halacha?
No.
Majority view does not. take this at all? And he says, no, the Gemara means something very serious. But if I asked you, okay, let's assume that you mean it seriously. How could it be that simply being Somech Gula L'Tfila is so important that you get Olam Haba? What would you say?
That's the entire essence of what tefillah should be about.
Very good, right? You have to say that smicha gula tefillah, there's something essential about it. There's something really important about it, right? It symbolizes something. Good. So now the question is, well, what is it? Right? What is it that is so important?
It's important beliefs in Judaism, to believe in that God takes something.
Okay. Okay, good. So Josh says, well, look, Yetziyat Mitzrayim is very important. Thanking God, asking God for things, that's very important. And saying them together is important.
Yeah.
Are they connected?
No,
I don't know, right? Mordechai says, oh, what do you mean? That sounds random. Okay, good.
So Yetziyat Mitzrayim is the symbol of God taking us out, taking us in. And tefillah is the symbol of us reaching out towards God. So it's kind of
also a reaction to it, too, you could say.
Reaction, okay, interesting. You want to say that Yetziyat Mitzrayim is God reaching out to us, and tefillah, we reach out to him. Interesting. But you're saying that there's an intrinsic connection. We'll see. That is the direction we're going to take, that there is, right, that there's a thematic connection between them. Very good. So let's see what the Mefarshim say. So Rabbeinu Yehonatan says the following. Yehonatan says, Shekevan shesomech gula l'tefillah bevadei nitkaven b'tefillato. He says, okay, maybe slightly different than Shitamung Rebbe said. Maybe it's not really. Its first possibility is that it's not really about gula tefillah. Its first part, it's about having kavana in tefillah. Okay? And he says, Umisha mitkavein b'tefillah modeh sheyesh lo elohah. And the one who has kavana in tefillah knows there's a God, acknowledges there is a God. And if as long as you acknowledge that there's a God, you are less likely to sin. And if you don't sin, well,
you're not
going to go to hell, right? Right. So according to him, all this is really saying is, if you are careful about all the details of davening, that shows you have kavana. If you show you have kavana, then what are you really doing? You're thinking about God. If you're thinking about God, you're going to go to Olam Haba because you won't sin.
So he's just saying it's a placeholder for you being a good person. You want to know how you're a good person? You've even done this.
You're really careful about the rabbinic laws in general. He says, no, it's about caring about tefillah. And people who really believe tefillah, right, are going to be good people. Yeah.
So it's this kind of the same thing, except more specific.
Correct. Now, he does seem to then go a little bit farther, because he says, okay, it's a somech. The kol shekein the shacharit, the ikar gula mitzrayim shacharit, because the main gula was the morning, so then he quotes two sources. One source for smicha gula tefillah is a pasuk in Tehillim. Dichtiv Hashem tzuri v'goali, v'samich le yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. The pasuk says, God is my rock and my redeemer. And then it says, God will answer you on the day of pain. Right? Now, that obviously doesn't fully answer the question, because all that does is push the question back to Tehillim, which is, what is the connection between these two themes? V'amrinan bebrachot Yerushalmi. Then he quotes a second point from the Yerushalmi. She'eino somech gila tefillah lamahu domeh. If you don't conjoin smicha gula to tefillah, what do you like? La'oel la'avo shel melech. It's like the lover of the king, right? The beloved one of the king. She'ba v'dafak al pitcho shel melech. He comes and knocks on the door of the king. Yatza HaMelech. And what is while the king's coming out, what does he do? Umatso Shehiflig. Right? He ran away in the meantime. So Afu Maflegs, the king says, I'll forget you. Right? So therefore, in the Yerushalmi, right, what is Geula? Geula, talking about Yetziyat Mitzrayim, is us knocking on God's door. And Tefillah is either coming in or talking to the king, right?
So
yes. So if you knock on the door and then run away,
so
Right, so he says, and therefore he says, if you praise God, you are coming towards him. That's when you should ask for things. Right? Now, this is, admittedly, at some level, what Mordechai said. Right?
Right?
I mean, it's actually the opposite. Right? Meaning, it's what you said, but the opposite. Right? The way he's saying it is, it's not about Yetziyat Mitzrayim. It's about Yetziyat Mitzrayim might have been God coming to us. But us praising God for Yetziyat Mitzrayim is us coming to him. Right? And when he comes to, when we come to him, right, then we can ask for things because God will come to us, right? So first we praise God, which makes God want to have a relationship with us, and then we can ask where he reaches out to us. So it's what you said, but in reverse.
I'll take what I can.
It's not bad, right? And if you, I just gave you the actual Yerushalmi number five, but what is the other shita?
Sure.
He just doesn't. I don't know. He doesn't buy this. Okay. Okay. Rashi quotes this as well. Basically, right now, Rabbeinu Yonatan is basically quoting Rashi. So I gave you Rashi here in six. Okay. Now I will just note in seven that the Rav argues that in addition to the hashkafic differences between simply quoting a pasuk and giving a story, he thinks there's actually a lumdish difference between it. And that is as follows. He says that there's two ways of looking at smicha gula tefila. One is that it is a... to use the lambdas, right? It's a chalos by itself. It's a din, right? It's a din that you're supposed to be somech geula de tefila. The second is that, right? Basically, it's chakir is as follows. Is smichat geula de tefila a din in tefila? Right? That I'm supposed to prepare for tefila with talking about Yetziyat Mitzrayim? Or is it a din in the smichut, the conjunction of the two? Right? So according to him, according to the Rav, if you follow the Yerushalmi, it's very clear that what's the din of smichat geula tefila? It's a din in tefila, that you don't prepare for tefila and then leave. But if you say it's about a pasuk, that Hashem tzuri v'goali goes into Yancha Hashem v'yarivecha, you could argue that it's not about preparation, it's that Hashem tzuri v'goali goes together with Hashem Yancha v'yarivecha, right? It's not that it's kodem, it's samich, right? It's next to, right? And that it's its own chefza. And he says this reflects a two conceptual roles of smichat geula tefila. One is as a matir for tefila, and this is an idea that the Rav is very fond of, which is that praising God is what allows us the right to ask things of God, right? We need a matir to approach God. And the second din that he sees here is that there is a value in the joining of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim with tefillah, right? So therefore, the Rav argues that the two hashkafic reasons parallel two lumdish formulations, which itself highlight two layers to smichat geula tefillah conceptually, which are, on the one hand, praise precedes prayer, right, meaning requests, as a matir. And the second is that, no, at some level, it's also because they're related to each other. Kabbalah Ol Malchut Shamayim and tefillah are related concepts, not necessarily that one prepares the other, but they're actually ideas that are supposed to be united. Okay. Rav Sachar Tamar in the Yerushalmi notes that Rashi doesn't seem to go far enough. Because he says, listen, Rashi only explains, uses the Yerushalmi to explain the order. However, what does he not explain? Why the metaphor used by the Yerushalmi includes specifically the Oavo Shel Melech. Right? Why is it the king and the king's friend? So the Alei Tamar in 8 says, Aval aniach lefarish adimayon lo avosho melech v'nirlei beferusho sha'arei kishakibel ilav malchut shamayim va'avar Hashem b'kriyat shema va'ahavta hareyu nasa avosho melech. He said, what it's really saying is that what? When you accept Shema and you say va'ahavta, you become God's beloved. Right? Va'yidei brachash le'acharehu martik al pitcho shamelech. Right? He says, what hashkafically it's telling you is something much more powerful, is that there's really three things here. What is there? Shema, when you become God's beloved. Vahafta. Then, geula is the beloved knocking on the door. And then, tefillah is the conversation between the beloved and the king. And that's what the metaphor of the Yerushalmi is trying to get at. Now, what is somewhat lacking from this entire analysis is it doesn't really explain. Right, it's gone farther than Leshet the Shittim Kubet said, who had just said, yeah, it's about being careful, right? Or even that Rabbeinu Yonatan Milunel's first formulation, which is, oh, it shows you have kavana, which means you think about God, so you'll never sin. Right. I mean, it's gone a little bit farther, but what is it not done yet? None of this is yet explained what it is about Geula per se that prepares you for Tefila. What is it about thinking about Yetziat Mitzrayim that's so central? Right? What is it? So the main sheet that everybody quotes here is Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah has a very, as you can see, a nice treatment of this. But it's really beautiful. And he says, Eizu ben olam haba. Zeh somech gula shal arvet tefillah shal arvet. Yesh lo mar. V'chim imnei she somech gula l'tefillah yesh lo sar kol kach sheyeh ben olam haba. Really? That's all it takes to be olam haba? He says, no. V'omer mori. Mori arav. My Rebbe says, Rabbeinu Yonah. Because it's written by Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? Shatam shezochel schar gadol kazeh. Possibility one. Why do you get so much schar? Mibnei ke shakadosh baruch hu kishegaalnu votzianu mimitzrayim. When God took us out of Egypt, hayaliotenu lo avadim. It was to make us His servants. Shneamar ki avadehein. Asher otziti et chamer et mitzrayim. Like God says, you are my servants. You're my slave. Who I took out of Egypt. Uvibar birchad gal Yisrael mazgir ba'cheset shasim on a bori. And when we say Gal Yisrael, so we think about this kindness that God entered us into His service. And what is tefillah? A tefillah he, what do we call tefillah? Avoda, shebalev, right? Because I mean, vavata mashal keirim zui tefillah. So therefore, k'shumaskir tzim etzram mitbal miyad marash Moshe evit shekona to rabo, chayev lasut mitzvot rabo, kenu makir atovu bagula shagalo to abore, v'shuavtu vovevot oto. He says, very simple. What is the theme of Gulat Mitzrayim? That we became God's avadim. And what does Neved do?
Avoda.
Guess what that avoda is? Tfila. Right? Shmon Esrei, that you show... you acknowledge your gratitude, you acknowledge your status as an Eved Hashem by doing avoda. They came in Shumak Shuavdo, Zegalo, and when you realize that you are God's servant because He redeemed you for that purpose, the Oser Ritzono Mitzvotav, and then you internalize that what? You owe God your allegiance, right? Meaning, you talk about God having acquired your allegiance by redeeming you, and then you express that allegiance by doing avoda. If you then follow that mindset that you are God's slave, then what are you going to do? Sure. Keep the Torah. And guess what happens when you keep the Torah? Zochel l'chai olam haba. You get to go to olam haba. That makes sense. If you live a life that follows the lessons of I am an Eved and therefore I'm committed to the Avdut, you know what? That's a key for olam haba. That's possibility one. The Odo memory, Natre Rachmana Uparke. My Rebbe also said, now Neru is Natre Rachmana Uparke, right? May God redeem him. Tam Acher, Vibnek Shemaskir Gulat Mitzrayim, when you mention the Exodus, Umitpalel Biparshat Boel Paro. Sorry, Umitpalel Miyad and Yudavan immediately. Mara Sheboteach Bashem Bitzvila. You show that you trust in God. Why? Because you trust that God can provide for your needs. Because if you didn't trust God, you wouldn't bother asking.
Parashat Bo Baro, Sha'omer L'Sham,
Kishiro Yisrael Anisim Veneflo, Che Osei Mama Bore Shalo, Kidir Shalom Bitchubo. And that, where did we get that? So what does the Midrash say? In Mitzrayim, when we saw the Nisim, we learned that God is capable. Right? The cave and shemazker achshav oto ha-geula. And when you mention the geula, shebatchu avotenu ba'ashem ve'etzilam, umitpalel miyad, and then you daven, nimtza shegam hu boteach bo. By mentioning the miracles, you acquire that same trust of the Jews, which enables you to do what? To really understand tefillah. And umitpnei zeh, masker oto ha-geula, mitpalel miyad, va'pitachon. And he says, trust, faith in God. Hu ikar ha-yirah. That is the main idea of fear of God, v'emunah, and faith. Right, so he has two possibilities. One is that you get olam haba because Mitzrayim reminds us that God redeemed us and therefore acquired us by right to be a servant. Tefillah is an expression of that avdut. And what gives you olam haba is living a life of Torah mitzvot. The second possibility is the miracles of Mitzrayim gave us the faith that God can provide for us. And that alone, even without keeping the mitzvot, faith, which is what enables tefillah, right? The faith that we have God is what enables us to turn to God and say, we need things. That itself is what? It's rooted in Mitzrayim. And in the second day, it's not that that's going to lead us to mitzvot. It should. But faith alone is so important that that's olam haba, right? So these are two very different dayot. One is that what you learn from Mitzrayim is commitment, and the other is faith, right? And one says what gives you olam haba is faith, and one says that what gives you olam haba is the life predicated on that faith. Okay. Now he does know that the Hashkivenu, when we say that it's Gula Arichla, it might be because it's thematically connected, right? That we acknowledge that God is our Savior. I gave you the Rav who summarizes this. And he just notes that conceptually, what you learn from this as well is that Tefillah, Yisoda Abdus Hu Kabbalah's Ol, is the acceptance of a yoke. Okay, the Rav developed this a little bit.
Number 10.
In number 10. But I'm going to have to skip it for now because we really are running short here. The Rabbi Yitzi Blau points out that you can really expand on Rabbeinu Yonah's idea in light of the Sefer HaChinuch and in light of a very famous essay by Isaiah Berlin called Two Concepts of Liberty. So if you skip to 12 for a second, then I'll go back to the Chinuch. In his essay entitled Two Concepts of Liberty, found in his four essays on liberty, Berlin distinguishes between negative liberty and positive liberty. The former means the ability to act unobstructed by others, right? Negative liberty is no one stopping me. It refers to the freedom to do as a person chooses. The latter, meaning positive liberty, the latter view posits an ideal actualization of the human being and attempts to remove those things preventing that actualization. Unlike its negative counterpart, positive liberty possesses a specific vision of human flourishing. Berlin sees an advantage for the positive conception, but also the danger as danger as well. Once one is convinced that he or she knows what humanity truly needs, one may set up a totalitarian regime to help bring it about. In the name of liberty, governments can terribly restrict human freedom and choice. Berlin fears that we will bully, oppress, torture them in the name and on behalf of their real selves. At the conclusion of the essay, Berlin essentially calls for negative liberty, right? So famously, Berlin says, listen, the danger of positive liberty, if you think that what freedom means is not the freedom to do whatever you want, but the freedom to live the proper life, that's great. But often that means the freedom to make other people live the proper life as you see it. Yeah. And therefore, liberty for him should ideally be negative liberty. However, the students of Rabbeinu Yonah apparently reject Berlin's position. Ultimately, freedom is not meaningful without a vision of how to live a noble existence. Jewish history is significant not because we become free, but because we accepted the divine laws of the Torah. We need to think about how to avoid Berlin's totalitarian nightmare, but throwing out a collective vision of the ideal and the true is not the answer. right?
So Berlin's liberty doesn't really bring chaos, but it does bring no meaning.
Correct. Negative liberty doesn't bring meaning. Exactly. It prevents totalitarianism. And then Ray Blau points out that if you'll code 11, I'll just say it outside. The Sefer Achinuch says, why is that we count from Pesach to Shavuot? Yes, but Mishar Shem Mitzvah, what does he say? So if you look at the second line, Hasibash and Niglu v'yetzim Mitzrayim, because they should kabul atarim, v'sinam v'kamua, to highlight the fact that the reason we left Mitzrayim was so that we would get the Torah. Right? And he said that's really what Rabbeinu Yonah is getting at. Not interrupting. Come on. Okay. Rabbi Blau adds, and this is how I found that it's next source. The other sources are pretty famous, but this is really hard to find. But Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg in Lifrakim has another take on this. It's a collection of his essays. Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg is a fascinating gadol. Yeah. Sklar, are you going to hate me if I keep going? Okay. So then Lifrakim, if you look at the Sridei H, has this beautiful idea. He says, it's a little article called Smichat Gula Tefila. This is the entire article. Hagula hu zichron ha'avar. Here's what it's teaching you. Gula is about remembering the past. Haskarik yitzim yisrayim v'anisim sha'asa azak l'shbaruch imanu. Because it's, what is Gula? No, Gula meaning Smichat Gula. In this case, what is it? It's remembering the past. V'ilu atfila, but what is prayer? Prayer is us looking forward. We're looking for what God will do for us in the future. However, the future is negated of all foundation if it's not rooted in the past. People who've given up on the future and live in the past, their tefila is an orphaned prayer. And those who want to stop anchoring themselves from the past, who give up on the past and only look to the future, and only the future interests them, and they want to produce the future in their own image, they lose both worlds. They're losing the strength, the power that comes from being rooted in the ground of the past. Because it's so hard and so much responsibility to build the future. They're lacking the beautiful structure. They don't have the image of these free, great Jews, in whose image we could create the future. Right now, what's he's talking about? Like modern Zionists, right? Like secular one who wanted to forget the past, right? And he's talking, right? He's trying, right? That type of ideology he's talking, right? Says binyan kazesh eino lokech latzmo tavnit chayi Yisrael me'azu mekedem l'mofet. Gam Rishu Liv noted atzmo b'shem gula Yisrael. If you don't tear up in the past, you can't be the Jewish redemption. Ki gula ein b'shua yitzirat b'rusha yitzirat efsherut shel chayim chomriim b'shvil anashim Yisrael bilvad. It's not just lives for Jews. Gula, what is redemption? Mashmah nitzan echerut likoach yitzira evri kefish galim ba'avar evri. It's to give power to the Jews to manifest their destiny in light of the Jewish past. That's what it means to be free. Right? That's what it means. Gula, sorry, Milvad Etmarayon, Shivat Banim Lacharavot. I'll skip around a little bit here. Anyway, you can read the rest of it inside, but that's a central idea. And I gave you the English summary from Ray Blau, right, where he says, right, that there have been Jews who only saw Judaism in terms of the past, right? And for example, right, this is the people of the Wissenschaft, right? The Jewish, right, academics, that all they cared about was the history of Judaism, right? Right? And he notes that at the funeral of his grandfather, not Shridi Yesh, but Rabbi Blau, Rabbi Mordechai Pinchas Teitz, Rabbi Beryl Wine made this point in his eulogy. He said that in the 1950s, most European Rabbanim talked only of the world that was. My grandfather, on the other hand, spoke of the world that could be. We can value the need to talk about the glories of our past while also understanding that we view our heritage as eternally relevant and as a contemporary challenge. Next paragraph, he says, the opposite exists as well. The constant temptation for radical innovation leads some to imagine that they can restart Judaism without a serious grounding in our years of tradition. Arguably, secular Zionism represents such an attempt, etc. Rabbi Weinberg, such an approach cannot succeed. It is the sense of continuity with the past that gives people the strength to persevere in difficult times and also provides a model for the goals we must fulfill. The power of collective identity depends upon a heritage and a tradition. This point leads Rabbi Weinberg to offer a novel reading of two famous Agadot. One Gemara in Chulin suggests the entire land of Israel was folded up and placed under Yaakov's head during his famous dream. Another well-known Gemara says that Kalev went to the graves of our patriarchs to pray for help in dealing with the challenges of the Meraglim. Rabbi Weinberg argues that each of these sources instructs us that our ability to accomplish Jewish goals depends on our being rooted in the past. Thus, the concept of the entire land of Israel being folded up under the head of Yaakov is not about a special miracle. Rather, it refers to the fact that our current connection to the land draws its power from the fact that our ancestor Yaakov was connected to this land. In a similar fashion, the story about Kalev conveys much more than the need to find an effective place to pray. It reflects Kalev's understanding that overcoming difficulties requires the vitality that comes from a strong tradition. Each day's juxtaposition of redemption and prayer allows us an opportunity to reflect on both our version of positive liberty and our need to draw from the reservoirs of the past as we look to the future. Right, so that is the Shridi Eish's idea that Smichat Gula L'Tfila is to remember that the connection to the past, specifically the Gula in the past, but that guides us as we look to God, right, to the future and God's place in our future. Okay, so that is his idea, which I think is also a very nice idea going into Pesach. And the last one from Rav Kook. Rav Kook has two passages on it that are very interesting. So he reads this in context of the symbolism of light and dark, of day and night. And he says, Yesh bazeh remez, ki shachrit v'or hayom mora al zman shadam bazlacha v'ora. So he adds, going back to a hashkafic level, to Josh's point, which is the night-day issue, right? Which is, what is the machloket? So he says, well, day is the time of moral zman shadam bazlacha v'ora. Day is when we're successful. Arvit v'choshech al zman shadam natan b'tzura. Night is when we are in pain. K'ma shekata b'shmuel, v'yelechu shnei anashim imo, v'yevo el isha layla, v'darshu chazal shechoshech lahem kalayla, v'yinei bala lamdeinu, she'ikor avodat adam t'yeh liman k'var Hashem yirach v'atikon haklali. When we daven, it should be our kavana, and this is very mystical, shouldn't be just for ourselves, but we daven for God, we daven for the good of everything. Kedivrei Tana Debei Eliyahu Anodeim Kol Tamar Chacham and Nechal Kvodo Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Anoshei Yisrael. We're davening for God and for the Jewish people as a whole. V'inei Misha Mitzido In Chaser Lo Davar Le'ish Kaze In Kavei Kol Kach Shdiya Ikar Tfilat Tola Kvod Hashem Drach. He said, listen, if you have everything in your life, so davening for the big picture is not hard. Masha Einken B'Shat Doch Kol Shal Adam. But not when things are hard. Azu Tzarech Et Chazkut. You need strength. So therefore, what does he say? Now you tell me what the next line is. He says, here's the symbolism. Ideal tefillah is davening for the klal. He says, if it's during the day, meaning when everything's successful, it's easy for you to daven for the klal. What's the chiddush of the shita that says even at night? Is even when your own life is hard and you really have things to daven for in your life, your ability to think about geula, to think about things in the broad picture, that makes you a ben olamah. But to be able to, even when you need things and you're in a hard situation, to still think about the klal, that is ben olamah. And according to him, presumably, that what's the opposite position is there is no such expectation. That during the day, when everything's good for you, obviously you should think about everybody else. But if it's really bad for you, it's night for you, then you don't have to be so much good with you. Really like, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the day night for, that's very Rav Kook.
Yeah.
It is a very nice idea. And just the last point, and he says, V'yishbiz ha'ara, on just the last line, which is this idea of tefillah arichta damya, right? That the, some of the additions to tefillah are extend gula. So he says, V'yishbiz ha'ara, just a point. Ki'av shetzarach adam she'asim kol mayin adam mashur ha'klal, even though you have to daven for the klal, you can't forget that. You can't get caught up in perfecting the world and forget about perfecting yourself. Your goal should be to care about yourself, but become part of the community. And therefore, he says, so that you don't become separate. And how does he see that? So he says, Hashem Svatai Tiftach is personal, right? And yet, what do we say? It's Geula Arichta. As long as you daven for yourself, but you view it in context of Geula Arichta, right, then it's okay, right? And therefore, the point is, he's saying, as much as I think you should be davening about the klal, it doesn't mean to the negation of yourself. It means that you should recognize who you are as an individual, but integrate yourself into the klal, and then it's Geula Arichta. So that's his symbolic read of this idea. So those are a few ideas going into Pesach. Again, so just focusing what we saw, Rabbeinu Yonah, the idea that either the message of Mitzrayim is that you're an Eved, and Tefillah is therefore about expressing the Avdos, and what makes you Ben Olam Haba is internalizing the fact that you're a servant of God and that responsibilities, or the message of Mitzrayim isn't the service as much as it is just faith, right? Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg's argument, no, the Geula Letzvila is about realizing that you have to bridge the past to the future. And then Rav Kook, which is that the key here is the night versus day, is that everyone agrees that when you have a day, when things are going well for you, that you should care about the klal. The machloket is whether when things are bad for you, it's night for you, do we expect you to care about the klal rather than yourself? Point one. And point two is, and even if we expect you to care about the klal, you can still recognize your own value as long as you integrate it in. And that's what Hashem Svatai Tiftach being Geula Arichta is as long as you recognize that your own identity, but integrate into the klal, but integrate that into the klal, it's not separate from the theme of Geula, because that becomes valuable as an individual embedded in the community. Okay, so those are different ideas on Geula Tefillah as we go into Mitzrayim, into Pesach. Okay?